First, I want to thank God and our Lord Jesus Christ for the privilege it is to stand before you and share the word. And I want to thank Ron Nee for asking me to. So, I want to tell you what I'm going to share on. Today, I want to share on recognizing the grace of God in your life. And I realized, is today the day of Pentecost? I realized the other day that I'm not teaching on the day of Pentecost. I'm sharing about the whole administration, which is really, really cool. And that, I don't know, it's just exciting. But what I wanted to do is there's two definitions of the word grace I want to read to you. One is from the American Dictionary of English Language by Noah Webster, done in 1828, which you can get online for $50. Reason I want to read this definition is Noah Webster would give a definition, and many times in his dictionary he will give you a verse where that word is used, and that's pretty cool because then you can see how it's used. So his definition is: appropriately, the free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and source of all the benefits men receive from Him. And then he quotes Romans 11:6a. So you can turn there if you want. And it says, and if by grace, then it's no more works. That's pretty clear. Really, really clear that has nothing to do with works. And that's the beauty that this is that dictionary is one Walter suggests that you have in your biblical research library so that it can help you to see the biblical usage, because he goes back to that. So anyway, the other definition is by E.W. Bullinger. And that is a kind, affectionate, pleasing nature, an inclining disposition, either in person or thing. It denotes a personal, graceful, a pleasing work, a beauty of speech. Subjectively, it means an inclining towards courteous or gracious disposition, friendly willingness on the part of the giver of favor, kindness, favor on the part of the receiver. Thanks. The word thanks is there. This word denotes specifically God's grace and favor manifested toward mankind or to any individual, which is a free act, is no more hindered by sin than it is conditioned upon works. It is the grace of God because it denotes the relation assumed and maintained by God towards sinful man. It is joined with Jesus Christ because it's manifested in and through Him. So by those two definitions, I put them together, and this is what I came up with. Grace is God's unmerited divine favor. No works can earn it. But it is because of God and His friendly willingness to extend it to all the world. So as we're reading grace in here, you can put that in there. So turn to Luke 2:40, and this one blew my mind. And this is the first time it's used in the Gospels. As I was getting ready to teach this, I said in the New Testament, but the Gospels are not the New Testament. They're the Old Testament. You got to remember that. So in Luke 2:40, it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace, the unmerited divine favor, because of God's friendly willingness, was upon him. Jesus Christ even needed grace. Wow. You know, and That's pretty interesting, because we know he's not God. He was a human. So he needed grace, and so do you. So do I. We need God's favor. Now turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to, basically the rest of this teaching is going to be out of the working translations. Because I'm going to use two of them. So Romans 1, because they seem to communicate much better than King James and all the other stuff. All right, Romans 1, verse 7, it says in the working translation, to all who are beloved of God, the called holy, sanctified ones in Rome, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to show you something here that's really cool that I never knew. I was listening to Bishop K.C. Pillai several weeks ago, and this subject came up. And what Bishop talked about was when an American, and he was talking to Americans, when they address a letter, it's usually Mr. and Mrs., and then they write the letter. But this is not how they do it in the East. The first thing they do in their letters is they say grace and peace to you by giving a blessing to your life before they ever ask for anything or say anything else. Isn't that neat? And all your, I believe all the church epistles start with this. And, I mean, we know the word is God-breathed, right? But there are Orientalisms, and that's what Bishop said this was. It was an Oriental custom on how they wrote. So that's pretty neat, I think. So Romans 3. Turn to Romans 3, please. And we're going to go to verse 22. It says, yes, the justice of God is by believing of Jesus Christ to all and upon all those who believe, for there is no difference. In fact, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his unmerited favor and his friendly willingness to show it to us. That's something. Through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. It has nothing to do with us. Nothing. It's everything to do with God's goodness, his grace, and his friendly willing. And that's really, when Bollinger said that, it just blew me away to think that God is friendly. He is. I mean, I know his word says he is, but that's really cool because, you know, a lot of people are touched hellfire and brimstone. God's mad at you. Who's going to kick your butt? No, that's not how he is. Isn't that cool? I mean, it's right there. Freely, being justified freely by his grace. Oh, man. Freely. Do nothing. I didn't do nothing for it. So we don't need to work on it. That's just something else. Go to Romans 5:17, please. And it's interesting because here we are in after the day of Pentecost. We're still the church of the one body. We still live in the grace administration, which that in and of itself is amazing. Romans 5, verse 17. So if by the trespass of one, the death reigned. Now the death is talking about, when Adam sinned, boom, death came upon all men. Through the one Adam. Much more then, they who receive the abundance of the grace, God's unmerited favor, through his friendly willingness to give it to man, and of the gift of the justice will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. We reign in life through Jesus Christ, not by us, and that's by grace. That has nothing to do with what we do. It's not how many Bible verses we memorize. It's not how much Greek we know. It's not any of that. It's by his grace. And it's really amazing. Romans 5:20 and 21. Now, the law also entered the scene that the trespass might increase. Listen to this. But where the sin increased, the grace did superabound. Everybody, if you talk to Christians in the world, all they want to talk about is sin. or their shortcomings. This says the grace, the unmerited divine favor by God's friendly willingness to extend it to the individuals, superabounds. That's what we're supposed to be thinking about and preaching. Earl was kidding me when he asked me if I was going to preach hellfire and brimstone. I said, no, just the opposite. Verse 22, it says, so that as the sin, which, you know, the sin is the fallen nature of man, reigned in the death, even so should the grace reign through justice and eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice all these things we're seeing is through the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ our Lord. It has nothing to do with you or me. And that's, you got to see that. Otherwise, what will happen is you'll try to work, do works in your mind to be good enough before God, where he already says you already are, because Jesus Christ paid the price. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 9:8. And that's a great verse, too. We talked about this Tuesday night. God is able, now stop, when you read that, you got to remember, not only is he able, but if he's able, he's willing. Okay? He's willing. God is able to make all favor, or that word is grace, Walter translates it favor, abound unto you so that you always, having all adequacy in everything, may abound in every good work. I think we're pretty well blessed. He makes all his unmerited favor that is not earned, and his friendly willingness towards you, that you have all you need. All you need. Whatever you need. That's what it says here. Why do we ever get concerned if our needs are going to be met? We shouldn't. Because he tells you right here, he's going to, in the context of this, is the law of giving and receiving. And how these, you know, it's pretty amazing. But it's still grace. It's still God's grace that does it all. So let's go to Ephesians 2:7. I wanted to read this because this is, this, you know how you hear people talk about a great retirement plan? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, number one, I've never read in the Bible the word retirement, so I don't know where they got to get it from the world. But look at what this says, Ephesians 2:7. So that in the coming ages he might display all the hellfire and brimstone you can handle. No, look at this. He might display the exceeding riches of his unmerited favor that you cannot earn, and by his friendly willingness he is showing it forward to you in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's your future. That's your future. Why would you ever be bummed out? Why would you ever get depressed? Why would you be concerned? There's your future. He's going to show you how great, look at that, exceeding riches of his grace toward you. Wow. All right, go to Ephesians 3:2. I had to throw this one in because we live in the administration of the grace of God. And as I was thinking about the day of Pentecost, well, that's what this is all about. It's all about the grace of God and what he's done. So verse 2 says, if you've heard of the If in fact you have heard about the administration of the grace, unmerited divine favor of God by his friendly willingness toward you, of God, that was given to me for you. I mean, think about the Apostle Paul, man. He murdered our brothers and sisters in the early church. God's grace gave him what he had and opened up the administration of the mystery to a murderer. Grace? Oh my God. What an amazing thing. And thank God Paul was humble enough to receive the revelation and write it down so we could read it and enjoy it and know it. Isn't that great? All right, so let's go to 2 Timothy. Now, I know 2 Timothy is written to leaders in the church, but I still think that this verse applies to any believer. Even though it's written to Timothy, I think it's one of those things we can learn from that's not addressed to if you're not a leader. But it says, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus." And in the, I meant to read the working translation. "Therefore, my dear child," look at how tender that is, "be strong in the grace," the unmerited divine favor, "which is not worked for, and which God, by his friendly willingness, extends to us, that is in Christ Jesus." And it's interesting, because the word "in" is the Greek word "en," E-N. And that means, it's like a dot, it's like a circle with a dot in the middle. And it means staying in with the, I'm losing track of what I'm trying to say, sorry. Staying within it and not going outside of it. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. So we're supposed to live in it, basically. That's what it's talking about. So it must be available to live in it, to live it to the point where not only do you receive it from God, but you can give it out to other people. And I'm going to show you what the Word says about that. It's pretty neat. But before we get to there, let's go to Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. This one, man, if this one doesn't make your little heart tear up, it'll blow up. Then I don't know. Hebrews 2, verse, my notes, 9. So it says in Hebrews 2, 9, "Notwithstanding, we do see Jesus crowned with glory and honor, who was briefly made lower than the spirit messengers for the suffering of death, so that he by the grace," unmerited divine favor, "which is not earned, and which he freely extends to us friendly-wise, so that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone." Notice it doesn't say for every believer. It says everyone. Every human that's ever been born, this is true of. "And God by his grace," doesn't say mercy there, it says grace. Isn't that something? "His unmerited favor, he gave his son." Boy, oh. Hebrews 4, that is just something else. Verse 15, it says, "Moreover, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." Boy, isn't that a beautiful thing. "But one who has been tempted in all things." So that shows you right there, he couldn't be God. God can't be tempted with evil, it says in the Word. It's not available. But Jesus Christ was. He was tempted to disobey the true God in many places. But he stood. Isn't that something? "In the same manner as we are." So, whatever you go through, your Lord already did it. Already went through it. And he conquered it. " yet without sin. Whew, that's a big deal there. Therefore, let us approach the throne of unmerited divine favor, which is not earned, but is given to us by God's friendly willingness to reach forth and give it to us. With confidence. Doesn't say crawl. It's with confidence. And that word confidence is the word parisia. I don't know if I'm saying it right or not, but that's what it looks like to me. But it's freedom or frankness of speech, an outspokenness, a confidence, and a boldness, especially with reference to speaking. So when you go to God, you don't have to crawl to Him. You can go to God with boldness and love and say, look, I need some help here. But it's all predicated on grace. Grace of God. It has nothing to do with what you do or I do. It's because of what Jesus Christ already accomplished for us and in us. So let's go to 2 Peter. And this is a great section of the Word. This is also what you can do as a believer to grow in the grace. And it's really interesting. I'm just going to read this and then I'm going to make a couple comments. It's chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained with us the same precious foundation for believing by the justice of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge, acknowledgement of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge, acknowledgement of Him who called us by His own glory and virtue. By these things, the precious and greatest things promised have been given to us, that through these things you become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world with its cravings. Now look at this. Grace and peace be what? Multiplied. Multiplied. It doesn't say added. It says multiplied. Now look at what it says. To you through the knowledge. That word knowledge is the key. It's the Greek word epigenosis. And you want to have fun, do a word study on this, and it'll blow your mind what this word does and what it means. It means a clear and exact, precise knowledge. But it's not just a head knowledge. It's a knowledge that so affects the individual that has the knowledge that they live their life according to that knowledge. That's what that word means. You want grace and peace multiplied to you? Then it's an intimate knowledge of God and an application of that knowledge to the point where you live it. That gives you more grace and it gives you more peace. Because it says right there, it's multiplying unto you through that knowledge. And the only way you get that knowledge is you study the Word, you put it in your mind, you live it to the best of your ability, and there it is. And then you will be more great. You will have more grace. And, you know, as I was working this, it's like, wow, you can have more. I mean, when I think of grace, I just think it's something God did. But it ain't just something God did. It's something God did and gave to us. And now we can reach out, like it says in Timothy, to other people with it. What an honor and a privilege. What a joy to be able to give that to people. And His divine power has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness to, again, same word, the acknowledgement, that accurate knowledge to the point where you act on it and live it. And then it says here in verse 4 that by these things, what he was just talking about, the acknowledgement, the precious and greatest things promised have been given to us, that through these things you become. It doesn't say you already are. It says you become partakers of the divine nature. because you're acting on it, you're living it, you're seeing it. It doesn't mean you don't have Holy Spirit if you don't do that. But what it means is that as you act on it, then you get it. It's yours. It's something you manifest. It's something you also can give away to other people to bless. Because that's what they need. I mean, I know I need it. So the last section of word we're going to read is 2 Peter 3. And this is an exhortation that I think is really apropos in light of this. And I'm going to start in verse 15. It says, "Consider also that the long-suffering of our Lord is for salvation, deliverance. Even as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them concerning these things. In them some things are hard to be understood, which the unlearned and unstable twist around as they do the rest of the scriptures unto their own destruction." This is really amazing that people would do that with God's word. But that's what Peter's saying here by revelation. Don't you therefore, beloved, since you have foreknown these things, meaning that's what people were doing to Paul's scriptures and everybody else, everything else that was written, "watch so that you are not led astray by the delusion of the lawless ones and fall from your own steadfastness. Instead, grow in the unmerited favor because of God's friendly willingness to give it to you. And knowledge," and that word knowledge is a different word. It's gnosis, which I don't know the definition of. The other one I know because I did a long word study on it. But this one is, it's just knowledge. It's understanding. "Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and unto the day of the age. Amen." Grow. He's telling you here you can grow in grace. And I thought it was just something you got. But it's not. It's something you can grow in. And that part of that has to do with your intimate knowledge of God's word and your application of it. So, Father, thanks for the day. Thanks for giving us a great word that we can grow in your grace and your love and all that you are and all that you've done for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.